Welcome to the Let's Get Dangerous podcast.
How's everybody doing today?
Great.
Fantastic.
I got paid.
That's right. You're fucking professional now.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
For comedy. That's right.
Yeah.
Was it $5?
It was like $15 for the Dead Panda show, and then I got paid at the Underground last night as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
How big does your dick feel right now, that check in your pocket?
10 inches head free.
Oh. There you go.
It is not, that's however. My name is Michael Graham.
And I am Yuri. And we have Brad Vance.
Yes.
And Brad is, he's an author and a comedian and a
filmmaker.
And a lovemaker.
Isn't that Steve Miller's mom?
That's Joker.
I think so, yeah. anyway, cool. Welcome. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have you on because we were looking at like your catalog of your work.
Yeah. Oh, your research.
Yeah.
I brought a little sample too.
Did you?
I wasn't sure until I listened to some of your podcasts about balls.
There's a lot of dick and balls.
And cat fucking. And I said, that this'll work.
You just summed up our podcast.
Sometimes we play games.
Yeah, we make it fun.
Yeah.
Excellent. Mike was telling me that you're an author.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've written about 20 books now.
Holy crow.
Yeah. Almost all self-published.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw some of your books on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the Kindle page we saw, and then it just shot down with all your stuff, and I was like, holy shit, I didn't expect that.
Yeah. A lot of it's actually been unpublished. My smuttier gay erotica went down when I was looking for a full-time job.
Okay. But,
now I have a job in the cannabis industry, so I think it's safe to put it back up.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. What would you consider your genre of writing? Like, what category would you put that under?
Well, at this point, I've moved on to serial killer thrillers.
Oh, wow.
I just wrote a book last summer called Stabatha. It's a dark comedy about a serial killing homicide detective in New York.
Okay.
Who pursues the leader of a cult, of a mass homicide cult, but she's also a therapist. So as long as she's helping him with his issues, he's kind of okay with her killing as many people as she needs to.
Hmm.
Yeah, but then shit gets...
Oh, it's a female serial killer.
Yeah, it's a female serial killer, yeah.
Okay.
She's a very wonderful therapist and also the leader of an evil murder cult. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like the story. I was hoping you would tell the story of how you got into like the self-publishing.
Oh, sure.
You told me it like last weekend or something. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I think during improv I kind of got into it. We had like a 1 minute talk about what you really know.
Mm-hmm.
And basically about 6 years ago I was on Reddit. And, you know, the AMAs asked me anything.
So
a woman got on and she said, I'm a smut writer. Ask me anything. And this was kind of the glory days of making money on Amazon. You could write a 10, 15-page story and charge $2.99 for it.
Okay.
So I was looking at her stories about a lonesome ranch foreman and a hot young hand who comes on to work.
All right.
What, of course, ensues from that. So I wrote a really fast story called Good Cop, Bad Boy.
Badass.
And sent that to her and said, hey, you know, I PM'd her, hey, what do you think of this? And she's like, oh, shit, you got the chops.
That's awesome.
And she said, I'll introduce you to this secret forum that will teach you all about, you know, publishing an ebook as an EPUB and a Kindle and getting your covers and marketing. And so I started writing dirty stories. I started writing Luke's brutal abduction.
How many of these are based on your stories?
Well, I lived in San Francisco for 12 years.
Oh, so all of them.
So the Viking stuff is, you know, there's a lot of fiction, the Viking stuff.
That's cool though, man.
Yeah, the mechanics are real. You know?
Yeah.
So you got this, like this recurring in your last stand-up set, where it's like, and then they had, what is it, like really, really hot sex or something? What is it? Like, or they did it really, really for a long
time. Doing it so hard.
Yeah, doing it so hard. That's the line, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then they did it so hard.
In the books at all?
That's the Reader's Digest condensed version. They actually do it so hard for page after page and in the actual stories.
We were looking at the covers of some of these, and we were like, how does that happen? How do you get the, are those just like stock photos?
They're stock photos, yeah. I had a deposit photos account, and some of them are like merged. I have a Photoshop genius who's put some of them together. And usually if there's two guys on the cover, it's been Photoshopped.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, three. Mike wants in.
Hey, good money in it, man.
Yeah, if I could, I could bulk up a little bit more, and then I could be on one of those covers easy, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about attitude. I mean, I have one guy I've used a lot, Daniel Sobieri.
And he sounds sexy.
He is. You should check out, like, Would I Lie to You and Strength in Numbers. He's just got that thing, you know, like, nice. I fuck. Yeah, because a lot of them are like wooden, you know, they have these scowls, or, you know, their heads are cut off at the top of the torso. Yeah. But
I'd have open mouth, like half like, like a whimsical child look on my face.
That's not very marketable right now. That's not hot right now.
It's not the time.
I'll wait.
You never know. Trends change all the time.
So what's either the most successful or the one you're most proud of? What would you say that one is?
Whoa, well, it's two different ones. The one that was most successful was a series called Kyle's New Stepbrother.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was ahead of the porn. We're pioneers. We were ahead of the actual like visual porn curve.
Yeah.
This was early 2015. For a while there, you could pretty much publish anything on Amazon, whether it was bestiality or dinosaur porn.
Jesus Christ, have they cracked down?
Incest. Yeah, there was some blue nose in Arkansas who started screaming about children seeing things on Amazon. So they banned a lot of stuff. And then one day, mysteriously, somebody posted a stepbrother story that just went crazy. People wanted it.
Yeah.
And I wrote mine, and next thing I know, I'd had, never happened again, but I had a $20,000 month. With stepbrother stories. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
That was my most successful accomplishment.
Most profitable.
The one I'm really proudest of is called Apollo's Curse.
Mm.
And it's actually about a guy, he's a writer. He meets thinks it's a romance model, but it's actually the god Apollo. After one night of passion, turns out anything he writes turns into gold. But the curse is that at the end of the year, he could never write anything again, even a grocery list.
What?
So he has to actually go to Venice and Greece and find the god Apollo, essentially, and get it undone.
How do you get it undone?
Oh, so like even if he's like signing like his signature on receipts and stuff?
Nope, nothing. So, I mean, what I set myself to do, I'd written so much smut. I put tab A into slot B so many different times, so many different ways. You like that? So many different ways. I wanted to write something that literally ended like the old Harlequin romances with like a kiss on the last page.
Mm, yeah.
And the very last thing that happens in the book is the two protagonists finally kiss. And it's it. That's the end of the book.
Sounds innocent enough.
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, it's about the story. It's about being a writer.
Yeah.
It's very meta. But that's the best book I wrote, I think.
Nice.
Speaking of being a writer, tell me kind of about you and Steve.
Yeah,
you guys do run us through that.
It's a group of local screenwriters or would-be screenwriters, filmmakers. I've done three shorts, Brad Vance Vimeo, and we've been working on some. I actually, one of my books, A Little Too Broken, my first experiment was turning that into a screenplay. And that's actually placed well in some competitions. And
nice.
Yeah. So right now I'm working on one called Incubator, kind of social horror. It's two tech bros move their incubator into a murder house where they are haunted not only by the ghost of a dead girl, but by the former tenants who had been evicted in gentrification.
Hmm.
Jesus.
It's pretty cool. It's nearly done. And I'm going to Austin Film Festival this October, so my goal is, and Steve's goal with the other script, is to get those done and in by then. And Steve and I are working on a comedy called Swedish Turnip Farmer. And the joke is that in so many of these awards things that you have to write very, very serious and, you know, very topical, and, you know, it has to be war-torn Syria or Japanese internment camps. And so we came up with, we were making fun and saying, well, Christ, what we need to read is Swedish turnip farmer must come to terms with the failure of his crops or something. And we just took that and ran with it. And we're starting to make fun of, there's so many bullshit competitions where you put your money in and they say, congratulations, you're a quarterfinalist. And turns out that there are 500 quarterfinalists. They've taken your money.
Yeah.
And just, you know, if you've ever been a PA on a movie, especially a bad movie, if they don't know out there, it's a production assistant.
Uh-huh.
And there's been some really crappy movies I've done PA on. And there's a lot of comedy to be mined from that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah. You've done it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Grim Becoming was the probably the...
Oh, God. That's the name of it?
That's the name of it, Grim Becoming. That was our biggest one.
Shit movie you worked on?
That was the biggest one. Like, the first thing I did when I first went to film school was I went and drove around Rochester and stuff to get papers signed for Amazing Spider-Man 2. And I was like, I'm in the biz. And then... next week we start Grim Becoming, and I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Did you ever watch it?
No, I actually should order it because, you know, I've never seen the finished product of it.
Of your heart, you haven't seen and the fruit of
and
your
I'm,
hard work.
Yeah, I'm in it too. Like, I think, like, and I'm like wearing the production shirt for the crew and stuff. Like,
Jesus, oh man, that's funny.
How long? Like, were you always a good, like, a writer?
I was a writer since I could. I was writing short stories in second grade.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all, you know, I was a nerd. I was a loner.
You were writing smut in the second grade.
not till the fourth. Yeah. But, I was writing, you know, I was a nerd. I was, like, a lonely kid. I was writing revenge stories where the space aliens came and nuked all my enemies, you know. Really disturbed shit like that.
At least you were just writing it, not, you know.
Yeah, I think that was my outlet.
That was your outlet, too. Yeah.
Guns weren't as easy to come by back then. Mm, so. Yeah.
We had this teacher named Miss Gardner. And tell me if you got in on this with
Miss who?
Miss Gardner, and she became Miss Felshaw later. Mrs. Felshaw. Oh. She's English. Well,
Milliken?
No, Mrs. Felshaw. Anyway, David and Ray were in one class, and I was in a period before them, and Casey was in a class eventually, too. And they used to take my notebook, like, we have to put journal entries, and they used to just write about fucking Miss Gardner in it. Like, I had a parent.
You're the one who started writing erotica. Yeah.
I was just the fall guy for it, but because she was Mormon, so we used to always just try to make it like cryptid, be like, you know, it's like God wants this for you. We talk about seeing her garments, and like I remember distinctly one where it was like, oh, we saw her garments, and like getting a boner for her and like bursting through your own garment and stuff, like, and that was in my.
But it was beautifully written, though.
Yeah, it was not bad. It was in my journal, though, and she read that for sure. So.
Dear Mike,
yeah, she's like, see me after class.
What happens if you tear your garments with your penis? How do you turn them in for new ones and explain that?
How do you explain that to your mom? She's like, mom.
I tore my garments.
Did you grow up Mormon?
No. We just knew she was Mormon, so yeah. We that was kind of our theme for making her, you know, a sinner. And she went out with this other English teacher the next year. We all knew who it was, and I used to fuck with this guy so bad. I would be like,
who was it?
It was Mr. Felshaw. Football coach. I'd be like, hey, heard you went out on a date this weekend, and he thought he's the coolest guy ever. He's like, not that it's any of your business, but yeah, I did. We saw King Kong, and I was like, she sounds hot.
Dicks, bro.
Oh my god.
So through writing, how did you start doing stand up? Like, how did you get into that?
It was basically, you know, Steve's interested in stand up, and I think he was going to the first one. And, you know, I'm adventurous with my writing, and there's a lot of humor in my stuff. And I thought, well, let me try this. Let me just try it. And I actually had gone to something, Reno Improv had a guy from Portland, I forget his name, but it was a seminar, like how to write a joke, how to construct a joke. And at the end of 2-3 hours, I was like, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, and at least, you know, as a writer, I think it clicked with me right away. And so when this first stand-up came, I signed up. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I've seen you there a few times. Yeah. Dancing good. I know that you have a little a long, ongoing joke about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. Being my husband, Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, despite the restraining order, you know, our love is forever.
Yeah, shout out to Aaron.
Just got double check, Aaron. Are you a Packers fan, though?
I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan, you know, okay. So of course I'm a Packers fan. Okay.
What do you think they need this year?
Oh, more offense, I think. Yeah. And I think it's tragic, like, the new rules, like Clay Matthews getting in trouble
every time joke.
He makes an actual God. Hit. I mean, it's becoming flag football.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, ridiculous.
That's cool.
I know football.
Mike just...
this one got away from me.
No follow-up there.
Yeah, no, I've seen you up there. It's good.
Oh, thank you.
It's funny.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, I respect guys like you and, you know, Steve and Luke who are out there really killing it, doing it professionally. For me, it's a creative outlet. And yeah. It's a creative outlet. I don't have to monetize. It's the one thing in my life I feel like I can just be free and enjoy it and not have any pressure.
There you go. Yeah. That's a good way of looking at it.
It's kind of how the improv is, like the classes and stuff. It's kind of like an unwinding time for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's really great. Like, you fuck up, everybody claps, and, you know, even when you start getting, oh my God, I can't remember the rules. Oh my God, I'm going to fuck up. And you do, and everyone's like, yay!
Yeah.
So, it's really nice.
A lot of support there.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, if you guys want to see me and Brad do some improv, we're doing our showcase on Friday, March 1st.
Hell yeah.
Let's do it. Our advanced placement improv class. Yeah.
What day is that?
That's this upcoming Friday.
Yeah. Friday?
Yeah.
Wow. 8 p.m.
We'll be in Nashville.
What are you doing in Nashville?
Trying to make it. The old lady's, she has family in Tennessee. So hang out. We're going to watch Fleetwood Mac, huh?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Rollback.
Oh. What are you laughing at?
Tell Stevie Nicks I said what's up.
I'm going to bang Stevie Nicks.
Twirl, Stevie, twirl.
So, all right. We'll talk more about this.
About banging Stevie Nicks?
Yeah, we'll talk more about banging Stevie Nicks
all right.
During the break or something. What else do we got for Brad for questions? Because I want to... He's got...
Yeah, what? As far as... I thought I had one, and then I lost it.
You're the filmmaking. I'm on the last.
Yeah.
That's been a lot of fun. That's something.
Where can we find your filmmaking?
Vimeo. Yeah, just Brad Vance Vimeo. I have a web series called Crunch, basically about a 50-something tech worker, permanently outsourced, who has no choice financially but to subdivide his apartment into 6 cubicles for desperate millennials. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, oh, cool, I like that.
Yeah. What's something that you're watching these days that, like, on whether it be Netflix or Hulu, whatever the fuck?
I'm watching a lot of ultra-low-budget horror movies, like Absentia, Coherence, A Dark Song, because with Incubator, my goal... The reason it's all set in the Tech Bro house is because that's how you make a movie for under $100,000 is to get a small cast, to get a single location, to focus on story, not so much special effects.
Yeah.
So I'm really doing my homework on those because I've directed 3 shorts and the third one, Arriving in 4, I think it's really good. I think I've done a really good job with story and directing actors. And you know, I want to direct this feature, man. I want to do it.
Nice.
I'm going to pitch you the script that I wrote a couple years back that's kind of like, I think it would be up your alley for that. Like kind of a low-budget horror film. It's called Really Fast Bad Guy. It's a working title, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing is getting, is getting an attention-getting title for starters.
Yeah.
But I'd love to look at it, absolutely. I give good note. So no gold stars, no easy applause. So
you're going to make you earn it.
That's right. You pay.
Mine is very much a lazy script writing script. Like, here's the shot to shot. Like, here's what this is going to do, and then fill in the blanks as we go.
Yeah. Now, if you want me to, I'd love to.
I would have to find it.
It's the cruel tutelage of Brad Vance, though. I tell you. They'll be prepared.
That's right. I can hit you with that dick. Well, that pecker.
Please don't hit me in the pecker.
So how long have you been in Reno? You said you came from San Francisco.
I grew up here And then I moved to San Francisco for 12 years and then came back.
When'd you leave?
It was like 1999. It was the first tech boom where it just started getting cold and mean and hard and expensive. And, you know, I just was working for assholes and, you know, the cost of living was... I mean, when you first moved to San Francisco, when I first moved in 1987, it was just Slackerville. I mean, it wasn't, what do you do? How much do you make?
Yeah.
You just moved there to be. I mean, you know, and the studio apartment was $450.
What?
And yeah, people worked part-time at a cafe and
had
four roommates and just slacked,
yeah.
You know? And then over time, that just disappeared. That just went away.
It's funny how, like, nowadays, like, to start a conversation, now you have to be like, oh, the question is always, so what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, the fuck? Like, why? Why do you need to know?
Yeah.
Why is it so important?
One of my funniest San Francisco stories is on Haight Street, I saw this, like, big, fat, you know, self-described dyke. That's the word she used. She was, you know, putting up posters for something. And this old guy with a little brushy mustache comes out of his business. And, you know, they're fighting about this. And he says, well, what do you do? And there's this beat. She says, I live here and I fucking protest. And that was what she did. That was her life. That was her self-definition of what she did.
Do you get paid to protest?
She didn't need to. She probably worked at some vegan cafe and had eight roommates and lived on $300 a month.
Fuck. Those were the times.
Paradise.
It sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now you can't get shit for $300
bucks. No, anywhere.
You can't even lay down on the streets in San Francisco anymore without rolling on a hypodermic needle.
Yeah, and the cardboard box cost $300.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What part of town is that? Rough part of town? The Tenderloin.
Yeah, yeah.
Here, that's it's a no-go zone.
Even when I was there, it was definitely... Really? Yeah. Like a hardcore place to go.
Hmm.
What was it about? Just a lot of drugs there?
Yeah, a lot of drugs, a lot of prostitution, a lot of crime. You just walk down that street and, you know, guys are whispering, midnight.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
That sounds scary.
I don't know if it's meth or heroin.
You're like, I'm going to be home by 11:30.
I'm just picturing walking down this dark alley, this motherfucker's like, midnight, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, that reminds me. Last night, they sent me to Little Caesars to get pizza for all the comics. We were there for like 6 hours. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know. but yeah, I was doing it, and there was this dude just sleeping on one of the benches in there, and he didn't look like... I thought he was strung out on heroin, but turns out later he was just drunk. But he's sleeping on the bench, and he's like, these four like young, like maybe college age girls coming in there, all being loud, like, we're gonna go and get fucked. Let's go get fucked. Yeah, I can't wait to get fucked later.
What was this at?
This was at Little Caesars.
Which Little Caesars?
The one on Keystone.
Yeah. I was going to start hanging out by that Little Caesars.
The one on 4th Street there.
I can't see that as the prelude to getting fucked. I don't know how you get loaded on Little Caesars.
Yeah, that's going to be a bad time.
No anal.
No anal.
So they all left and this guy's still laying. And then one little timid girl, it couldn't have been more than 20, like just quiet looking on her phone, like getting a hot and ready pepperoni so she could study for them. Yeah. And this guy shoots up and he's like, hey, girl. She's like, what? He's like, you make me want to sing. And I was sitting by him and I was like, am I going to have to kill this guy before he attacks this girl? Like,
I'm going to be honest with you. If that had been me, I'd let her attack. I'm not risking my own life.
Well, I was going to let him make his move first and sneak up on him. No, he was Hispanic.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. And then she was like, cool. He's like, look, I know I'm older, but if I put, you know, I can get these grays out of this beard, I'll look like I'm 20 years old again.
He was optimistic.
Yeah, and then she just straight up ignored him, and he's like, all right, I get it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to fucking save this girl for just, he's crazy, don't you get it? She got in and got out, and then he's like, hey, big dog, to me, and I was like,
hey, big dog.
I was like, what?
You lost your rom-com moment, man. You could have saved her.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You've been a hero.
I'm more of a Dexter in that situation. I wait for him to do the crime and then
then roll him up in a tarp.
Yeah, exactly. And then he's like, you got a lighter? And I was like, no. And he just started singing Brass Monkey by the Beastie Boys.
That's a good jam. The guy's got a good taste.
Yeah, I was like, I just went with it. I was just like, all right. And then he went outside and then he was gone. Like, carried away. Yeah.
You should have started beatboxing with him.
Oh, I kind of got into it. Yeah. But at first I didn't know what he was singing it because I didn't really, he was kind of fucking it up. So I was like, is this? No. It is.
Did you get him a 40?
No. Well, no, he vanished after a while. Yeah, it was weird.
You know what Brass Monkey is?
By the Beastie Boys.
No, do you know what it is?
Oh, no.
No.
Brass Monkey is like a poor man's mimosa.
What's in
it? You drink half of the 40, just about to the top of the tag, and you pour orange juice in it. It's a Brass Monkey. Mm. That's what they're singing about.
Well, I'd have a Brass Monkey with you guys any day.
They used to have them all the time. And play Edward 40 Hands.
You did that before?
Yeah, it's a horrible idea.
Yeah, it what's sounds like
hands. Yeah, huh?
What's 40 Hands?
You duct tape your 40 ounce fucking bottles of malt liquor, and you just drink them.
You duct tape them to your hands.
You gotta hold it so you don't piss your pants. Or is, unless you have really good friends. Oh, shit. So, you've been watching a lot of horror movies. I've never been able to watch horror movies.
Well, the ones I don't like slasher movies. Those are the ones I don't get into.
Okay.
But the ones I'm watching are really...
Thrillers? Like thrillers?
Well, I mean, they're psychological more than anything.
More suspense building. I'm more into that, too.
Because it's cheap. I mean, you know, gore and ghosts and monsters cost money.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these are really, Coherence is pretty cool. It's like a dinner party, and then all of a sudden all the power goes out, and then gradually they realize there's been a split in reality, and then the house down the street is actually their house. And then they get paranoid, thinking the people in the other house are going to kill them, so they have to kill them first. And it just degenerates into this suspenseful...
So don't take psychedelics before watching any of those movies.
No.
Yeah, you definitely... If you can't afford CGI guys, in practical effects, you need, the top-of-the-line shit. You can't go to the party store. Otherwise, it's going to look like you got party store skeletons chasing. Yeah. It's going to look like a Grim Becoming.
Yeah, I mean, the one I just watched last night, Absentia, about this woman. She, right when she has her husband declared dead after 7 years, he comes back. But it's basically this skittering bug creature who's keeping people hostage in another dimension. And there's just, one scene in the bathroom where someone sees a little silverfish come out. Ooh, and they flushed it away. Then all you hear is the skittering. And at the very end, you see these two hooks on someone's shoulder.
What the fuck?
And but I read an interview with the guy. He said it was actually two sticks that we found. So, I mean, the only special effects were a little bug in the sink and two sticks. And the noise, a little tick, 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 tick. And the rest is left to your imagination. And it worked. And
That always worked. All the best horror writers, that's what they, Edgar Allan Poe and Lovecraft, they describe something, but then they let your mind fill in the blanks.
Yeah,
and
Lovecraft was the horror beyond another dimension.
Yeah, yeah.
That lives in the corners. And
I'm a huge Lovecraft fan. Yeah. As far as description and stuff, for Edgar Allan Poe, he, suspense daddy, he, could the pit and the pendulum and stuff. That shit would give me existential crises, reading in high school and stuff,
Did you ever watch the movies, the Hammer flicks with Vincent Price?
Huh.
No. Oh, yeah. You got to check those out. They adapt. It was Roger Corman.
These were older, right?
Yeah.
I know Vincent Price.
Okay. Some were Hammer and some were Roger Corman, The Pit and the Pendulum, and a lot of Vincent Price movies. Huh. Ultra low budget, of course, because it's Roger Corman. But really, really good. Good stuff.
Hitchcock, he'd be more like the high budget. Well, he became high budget.
He worked his way up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he started with silent films and got his way up there.
I've never been able to watch that stuff. My parents fucked me all up.
Yeah.
He lives in this fucking ratty ass trailer, and there's one bedroom. And when my sister was born, I got moved out to the fucking living room, bitch. But they used to always rent fucking, Freddy Krueger and Halloween and shit like that. And I'd be like, then I'd be left out in the fucking cold of the living room to try to go to sleep.
In the biggest room with all the shadowy corners. Yeah, for sure.
After that, I was never able to watch anything. Still to this day, I think the one that really fucked me up that I watched, and I remember I was on a date. It was not The Ring. There's another, like, this other Asian one.
The Grudge?
That motherfucker. Holy fuck. I threw every fucking sheet off my bed. Yeah. I was like, nope, I'm just going to sleep on this.
When you work on it, like, I have such an appreciation for the effects now, like, because I used to...
Yeah, you went to film school.
Yeah, we would see the people making it, and they'd be like, I was up all night working on this, and why? Like, we don't even have to use this until, like, next week. You had all this time. They're like, no, I had to do it now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then, I don't know. Yeah, I look at movies differently after that. Like,
yeah, you can tell that. I feel like you having that bit of film background, you can appreciate what goes into making the production.
Yeah.
You know, the hard work that gets put in.
Oh, I also notice mistakes way more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get
continuity, especially.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, and practical. Like, because I've mostly focused on cinematography while I was in school, so... If I see, like, the tip of a... I'll notice the mic. It's in so much shit. Like, when you see the boom mic get into stuff, I'm like, amateurs.
Yeah.
I feel like that's with anything, like, that you know something about. You nitpick here, and I was like, you should have done this. Or you should have done that.
I start doing things with the story. Like, if I watch it on Netflix, I'm like, okay, this is the turn. Let me stop and see what time it is. You know, how far into the story is this happening? Uh-huh. Started again. Checking the time codes. I'll do it in the theater, too. I'll flip my watch.
Really?
Yeah. Just to see how it's structured.
Well, I've never done it by the time. But, yeah, I've kind of had that same thing. Like, here, da-da-da-da-da, here it comes. Yeah.
Like, really terrible movies, like Marvel movies.
Yeah.
You know, those are terrible.
It's weird, man, how those are just money grabs.
Yeah. They always have what I call the bathroom moment. And it's like there's right between the third act where the hero is in doubt and the girl has to shore him up and he stomps out and says something like, this ends tonight, or let's finish this. And you know, that 5 minutes when he's like having his moment of doubt, you can sneak out and pee and not miss anything.
What would your line be, Brad, if you just got remotivated, things are looking darkest just before dawn? What's your line for that?
I don't know. Let's fuck shit up. No, I actually have like a riff in Steve and I's script. His is very meta about screenwriting and thinking about the lines you used to get in the 80s, like, I'll be back, or you are terminated, or, you know, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Yeah. And now we have, let's finish this. And, you know, it's just, it's a desert for catchphrases.
Yeah.
You know?
Not in my kitchen.
Yeah. You shouldn't drink and bake.
Yeah. And when we talk about STD, are we talking about STD?
Yep. Yeah, STD. Oh. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. He was on the Dead Panda show, too.
Yeah, I remember I saw the post for it.
Just keep reminding you of all you missed out on.
I know.
I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
Chris Tengel was hilarious. Yeah. He really was.
He was the headliner, right?
Yeah. I told my mom the Trump Hitler joke. She's 87 and she loved it.
Yeah. I like that he had really good work with the crowd. And I would love to get some long form time because I feel like I could have that same kind of rapport with a crowd.
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Well, there's this one guy who was just like always. I mean, you know, the thing when you ask the audience, hey, do you blah, blah? And there's always one guy who's like, yeah, blah.
Yeah.
And he had a line about some MMA fighter said, you know, he's deaf. And this guy in the audience said, he can't hear. And like, long riff on this guy. It was hilarious.
He can't hear. Yeah, obviously, he's deaf. Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the difference between a 5 minute set and a 45 minute set, is because you get to pick those moments out and like even kind of bait them out, and I want to do that so bad. I do that on the underground on the giveaways, like, because there's way more audience interaction, and I'm getting pretty good at it.
Yeah, it's high risk. It really is high risk.
Like when nobody has, like when we're like, who's got a condom for this, and nobody ever has one, you're like. You all have herpes. It's easy. It's right there. And it's always gets a cheap laugh. Or the person that pulls it out right away. And we're like, this guy is ready for it.
This guy's ready to fuck.
Yeah.
It's like choose your own adventure. No matter what happens, you have to have an answer ready.
Mm-hmm. Calling people quick draw McGraw and stuff. No. So let's see. We got about 10 minutes left before the break. So should we just straight up get Brad to, should we ask him?
Want to ask him?
Have you heard our other interviews with our guests?
I heard your last one. And then I heard some of Luke Westberg's. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, you might not have heard of it.
We have this ongoing tradition where we ask our guests how they lost their virginity.
How I lost my virginity. Oh, man. What was it with the neighbor boy? Of course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one of those things, hanging out. And then, you know, it's like, hey, let's go to my bedroom. We're like hanging out in the dark. And of course, my heart is pounding. My heart is pounding. And he's, you know, allegedly straight. So it's one of those, constructs is like, if you're the gay guy and he's the quote unquote straight guy, you have to be the one to ask.
Yeah.
You have to open. So my pulse is pounding. And finally, I'm like, can I? Or it's more like, do you feel like, you know, he's like, yeah, sure. You know, like
it sounds like a straight guy.
Tried to play it cool.
His heart's probably pounding too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my loss of virginity.
Nice. At least you didn't have to go far.
No. Yeah, right around the corner. Yeah. Practically delivery.
Practically delivery. Oh, God.
Because of Amazon Prime.
Yeah. You know? Prime. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we shared ours with Luke the first time we had him on.
God, he was scared, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a late bloomer. Shout out to Luke.
Yeah. Good guy. That's funny.
So you grew up in Reno then?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was very different then.
Oh, for sure. I always talk, I have older friends, and they've been here their entire lives, you know, and they just talk about how there wasn't much.
No.
It's only been like maybe the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah, I think it was like 75,000 people. And I went to Reno High, you know, I graduated in 1980. And, you know, I would leave school, I'd walk down to Wingfield Park, and there may be two bums. They left me alone. And I'd sit by, you know, I'd sit by the river, do my homework. Then I'd go to work down at the library downtown, you know, shelving books. And then, you know, my friend Nancy and I, we were very bent on being glamorous and everything. So she was a PBX operator at Harold's. And we would take our paychecks and we'd go to Harris. And at that time, they would let you in if you were a kid, as long as you didn't, you know, gamble. So we would go up to the state, to the seafood house. And we'd smoke, you know, cigarettes, you know, very, you know, exotic Russian cigarettes and eat lobster. And then I'd walk home, you know, at 9 p.m. I'd just walk home up to the Northwest. You know, you didn't have to, nobody was worried you'd get kidnapped or murdered or anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, very different time.
I feel like it's not that, let's see, it's starting to get worse, you know, around here.
Yeah.
But Jackie told me a story last night about some dude that was like, hey, do you want to try out some cologne? And she just had a bad vibe about him. Mm. And it turned out that it was chloroform, not perfume. And she got away from it. I was like, good God, you almost got human trafficked. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Where is that? Kmart?
She said it was like a Sunday at noon, like downtown somewhere. Like she was just walking into a parking lot to her car. And
Yeah, because she works downtown. Huh?
Yeah.
Damn, that's sketch.
I'm glad she didn't get kidnapped. I like her, so. Yeah.
I mean, if she did, then, you know, on to the next one.
Then you'd have to rescue her. You'd have to.
Then there's your moment.
That's my moment. Okay, what's Jackie,
the line?
Next
what's
time.
The line?
Oh, the line is,
this stops today. Is that it?
This ends tonight.
This ends tonight.
Wait, I want to make a pun off of like perfume or something like, this smells horrid. Yeah, like.
This smells fishy.
Yeah. Now you sleep with the fishes.
It's pretty good. There's still some left.
You just gotta dig deep. We're at the bottom of the barrel, but you know.
Better than what they got out now.
So when's that next open mic?
It's like the 15th, right? Something like that.
Like next month?
February 28th.
What is it, the third Friday?
Yeah, I think the third Friday is the open mic. Mm. And then the fourth, maybe, is the Dead Panda.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another Dead Panda on the 4th of next month?
Yeah, Dead Panda's going to be, it's going to be like, we're going to do more than just shows at the improv, it sounds like. It's going to be a whole
empire.
Yeah, it's going to be this whole thing. We're trying to get this idea in his head. We want to get a roast battle going.
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll definitely sign you up for that one.
No.
Absolutely, you would do so well, man.
Well, so you guys, are you guys going to be just performing at the Reno Improv, though?
That's going to be a comedy night. Dead Panda comedy night at the Improv is like going to be one of the shows.
Okay. Yeah. And then where are you guys going to be? Like, what's he trying to do with it?
He's looking for more places like in Tahoe and just around, just to kind of grow the brand and stuff.
Yeah. You should try the Sands or something.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. Especially when
one of those small little ballroom deals, yeah. Or, you know?
I think once you get to enough, you know, proven sellouts, mm-hmm. at Reno Improv, you probably could go somewhere and say, "Hey, you know, look, I've got this many people showing up, and they drink."
Yeah.
So
we should probably get a camera, like, because the handy cam at the Improv, will, I don't think we'll do the show like high enough production quality for it, for if he was going to pitch it to other people.
No, it gets pretty washed out. They've admitted their camera is not. Yeah. You know, I mean, I bring my phone and record me and Steve, you know, which works okay, but
yeah, that's cool. It's getting some traction.
Yeah.
Should I feel like I had one more question for you before we take the break. But okay, as far as who are some of your influences as a writer?
Oh man, that's a heavy question.
Yeah,
I don't want a heavy answer to, you know, say, well, you know, I'm really influenced by, you know, I think a lot of the writers that I really respect are historical novelists. You know, like Dorothy Dunnett did this huge epic series or two series about high adventure in the Renaissance, spies and merchants and war and shit. She is really a terrific writer. You know, Bernard Cornwell, The Last Kingdom is a TV show.
Yeah.
He has Uhtred the Viking, the books. And the books are better than the show. He has this very anti-Christian viewpoint. And he has all these stories, ridiculous stories about the saints who converted the sharks to Christianity. Yeah. And a lot of things he had to leave out of the TV show because they were too offensive.
I have a lot to say about like how people, yeah, like, books are always better than the show.
Yeah,
I have some very similar tastes in books, but not the same series and stuff. Like I was really into like Dune,
Twilight.
Oh yeah, I grew up with Dune. Yeah. Absolutely, Dune Messiah, Children of Dune, God Emperor of Dune. Yeah.
Yeah, just like the whole political system and stuff. I was like, the world building in it is just
amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
It's kind of weird now because it's almost like, when you read it now, it's almost like a Paul Atreides and the, the Phaedon or the, you know, it's almost like, oh my God, these are like ISIS.
Yeah.
I need to look at it now from that other viewpoint. It's weird.
Yeah. Oh. So do you prefer Aaron Rodgers with or without the mustache?
With just the porn stash. I don't like the beard.
Just the porn stash.
The porn stash. Yeah, totally.
What about you?
I want to go porn stash.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a lot just to rock that.
You
got to
carry that off, man. You got to have the attitude.
Well, I don't want to be left. I'm going to, cards on the table. Don't know what Aaron Rodgers looks like, guys, but I'll go with the porn stash too. Mm-hmm. I'll take you guys a word.
All right.
So, our improv show is on Friday. We got an open mic. Well, I guess it's not really an open mic anymore, is it?
It's pretty blocked up. I mean, there's a waiting list. Yeah, it's not that open anymore.
Yeah, it's just a comedy night now at improv at the end of the month. And it's always one of my favorite shows to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so come check us out. We're going to probably take a break right now. And then we'll play some games with Brad and talk more. We'll probably talk about, probably butts.
Dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that all I'm talking about? Enough of these vaginas.
Well, we'll play some games. We'll have a good time. Here's our anchor ad for the 100th time.
All right. Whoa! Welcome back. This is Let's Get Dangerous.
Yes, thanks, Anchor. Thank you for never finding us another sponsor. We don't want one, even.
What are we going to play here?
All right, so this is a game special for Brad. We are going to look up his books right here. We actually have them up. Great headshot.
Look at that headshot.
Yeah, you like that?
So distinguished.
Yeah, I got my Joe Nesbo going on there.
Well, we're going to do is we're going to look at the covers and the titles, and then we're going to say what we think the these books are about. Brad can tell us if we're close, or, you know, maybe lead us, whatever you want to do.
Lead us astray, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Why don't you take the first one?
Which one? The Road Home?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to look at, I'm trying to base it off this cover here. So I'm just going to riff off right here and be like, so they're on I-80 heading east, right? To Winnemucca. And this dude's, he's driving his Jeep Grand Cherokee, windows down.
You know a lot about gay people, definitely.
I know. I have good friends that are gays.
Yeah.
And he's like got the windows and his hair's blowing in the air. He's listening to the Culture Club. Mm. And he's like driving past the curve and he's getting to Fernley and he sees this dude with his shirt off. Mm. Not a single hair on that bod. Just glistening in the sun because it's sweaty. It's summer.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Right.
So he fucking pulls over and he's like, hey, you want to hop in? Where are you headed? It's like, oh, I'm headed to Winnemucca. It's like, oh, it takes you there. I was like, I don't know, but I'm just in it for the adventure. So I was like, oh, yeah, hop in. And they both just take their clothes off. And then
start driving?
And then they start driving.
Wow, okay, that's one way to do it.
And then they stop at one of those rest stops, that rest stop right before you turn to Vegas, that dirty one.
Mm-hmm. Man, I actually went to that once while I was working.
And it's gross.
It ruined the sweatshirt I was wearing.
Oh, my God. No, you can't wash it out.
Threw that thing away, yeah.
You can't wash it out. It sticks to you, that stench.
It's disgusting.
You know what that stench is? It's the stench of sweet love that is being made in those stalls.
That's right.
By those hitchhikers.
Yeah. So they get to the rest stop.
They get to the rest stop.
Yeah. They get out. You know, there's a line for the bathroom.
Oh.
And a bunch of other shirtless guys.
Whoa. You know, it's hot. It's summer.
Yeah, man. It's in the guidebooks, too. You know?
Wait, what time of day is this?
I don't know. Noon?
It's a hot. Is it noon?
High noon.
Oh, high noon. Wow.
I feel like there'd be no families.
Shame. Yeah. There are, you know? They got to learn someday, right? How the world works.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, they finally get their turn. You know, hands in each other's pockets the whole time. You know, mothers covering their children's eyes. You know. So they finally get in there and says, God, it stinks. And the other one says, not as much as your sweaty crotch does. Oh. Then they kiss passionately in the stall. You know, of course, you got the toilet there in the way. But, you know, there's a lot of combos. You've seen them in the Gay Kama Sutra. Like ways to position yourself on that toilet.
Yeah, the toilet gets its own chapter in the Gay Kama Sutra.
Absolutely.
Does it?
Absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah, working that stall with that toilet, man.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're getting it on. They're getting it hot and heavy, putting tab A into slot B, you know, just working it, you know, kissing. And then the park ranger.
I'm freaking hard right now.
Chunk, chunk, chunk. Hey, what's going on in there? And they open the door, and he's one of those, like, really tight, short-sleeve Park Ranger shirts.
Yeah, and it's, like, only muscles. So we got, like, two buttons buttoned.
Yeah. You know, like Tom of Finland shit. You know, look that up. Got this swollen penis, like, coming down.
Oh, good Lord!
I'm going to have to give you a ticket and see your ID.
Oh, shit.
Sure, come on in. So, now it's getting really close, really hot. The moisture is collecting on the wall of the stall.
And the park ranger's also like, God, it stinks in here.
He's like, oh, that stink.
Absolutely.
And then he just walks in and is like, is there room for one more in here?
Absolutely.
And he's got that Aaron Rodgers mustache, is what I'm saying.
Oh, jeez. Now I'm getting hard.
Oh, good God.
Well, yeah, I think that's a very accurate depiction of that book.
That was close.
And it's called The Road Home, so cut to the end. Made it back in time. I was going to say in time for Thanksgiving dinner.
So how? Well,
with family.
It's home for the holidays, dude. So what actually is it about? The Road Home.
Okay, what it's actually about, it's a paramedic and EMT romance.
Oh, these wow. two guys.
And I did my research. I read a whole lot of books, like A Thousand Naked Strangers and Lights and Sirens, and got on the Reddit EMT sub and learned a lot. I actually ran it by this gay medic. He said, yes, this is real. So it's
how'd you find that guy?
It's just hanging out in the EMT sub and all these other guys making gay jokes about him, and said, hey, read this. And he's like, you're right.
You're right.
So, it's basically these guys end up on a road trip to go down and look at, an advanced, I don't know if it's advanced paramedic school down at UCLA.
Okay.
So they're on a road trip down there. And, of course, they're friends, friends becoming lovers, all that.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a nice story.
Sounds like a beautiful story. It was way off.
the last 25%, you're right.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right, your turn.
All right, I want to do a little too broken.
A little too broken.
Is that the model you were talking about? What's his name?
Daniel Sobieri? No, you got to scroll a little more to see him.
These guys are jacked.
Yeah, there he is on the far right.
Who's that, AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys there? Guy.
Damn, Brad.
Yeah, you see that smirky little look on his face?
Oh, yeah.
That's why I picked him, because most of these models are just, their faces are just dead as doornails.
Take notes, Mike.
Expressionless.
Give me one of them, shoot me one of them looks.
Yeah, let's see it.
Joker.
You got the eyebrow and the little curve in the mouth. You ready, man?
You're like a ripped Owen Wilson.
Oh, I'll take it.
Oh, wow.
Let's just break your nose and you're ready, man.
I have broken my nose 4 times, but I want to do a little too, speaking of broken, a little too broken.
Okay.
So, Cliff and his cousin, Hank.
Cousins, yeah.
They're hanging out building a treehouse one summer.
In West Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, they're high on Oxycontin, too. So, they're building a treehouse, and Cliff falls off the ladder, one of the boards is old and moldy, and he breaks his leg, and he's like, can you stand up? And he's like, no, this leg is just a little too broken to stand up. So Hank is like, well, Cliff, let me get you in the house, we'll put some ice on it. And he's like, okay, cool, that'll help.
Some more Oxycontin.
Some more. This is why they're so calm about it, you can't even feel it. He basically just, hobbles into the house and gets on the couch and he's like, and he snorts a line off the coffee table. Hank comes in with a bag of ice and he puts it on the exposed bone, but he's like, but then I forgot what the first guy's name, Cliff. Cliff takes his hand in the bag of ice and slowly puts it up towards his wiener, towards his dick and balls. And he's like, sorry, that also has some swelling that needs to go down. Wink, wink.
So that's Cliff, right?
Yeah, that's Cliff. Right. Hank is, Hank's like, you pervert, we're cousins. And he's like, only first cousins.
And he said, and besides, it's not like we're going to get each other pregnant and have little, DNA broken babies. Let me take that swelling down for you.
Well, it has been a long time for me.
Yeah.
Since the accident.
5 minutes ago.
And then they do it so hard.
And they do it so hard. That's what it's all about, man. And he's, of course, Hank's got, I can't remember, man. Cliff's got the broken, right?
Right.
Yeah. All right, crushed Cliff. He's got the broken leg. So Hank says, looks like I'm going to have to ride you and do all the work myself.
Yeah. And then in the middle of the lovemaking, he's like, can you set the bone, though? And we've been ignoring this. It's a real problem.
The Oxycontin's starting to wear off. It's starting to hurt a little bit. Good.
Well, and then they're, they're a milkman or something. Maybe like a paper boy, just walks in on. He's like, whoa, sorry, guys. Here's your milk/newspaper. Carry on. I'm not going to tell the whole town.
And then he's like, you know what?
But there's the conflict.
And then he pours the milk on himself and he joins the party.
I'm all wet. I better take this shirt off.
God, that leg looks...
Man, we think
that
we
leg make, just looks awful.
We could make some money, dude, writing some of this stuff, dude.
You got the mindset for it.
This is is my favorite episode so
far. Well, you'd be surprised. Like 90% of the readership for this is actually straight women.
Hmm.
And 90% of the authorship is also straight women. But, I mean, there's good ones and there's ones who are not.
Yeah.
Who will write things like, oh, Tyler Skylerton, I'm going to sex you up and down until the stars fall from the sky.
Or they'll do lines like, I'm 50 shades of fucked up.
Yeah.
I used to work with a dude who I used to always catch. He read smut.
Mm.
He was straight, you know. But he would always have like a little his tablet out, right? Mm. And then on break, he'd be sitting, because he was huge. He was like 300 pounds, like silverback gorilla, yeah. Older guy.
Yeah.
And he'd just be sitting there, and he couldn't see right, so he'd just squint. He'd be like, oh. And I'd always sneak up on him, and I'd fucking read. And they'd be like, what the fuck is Greg reading? At work. This motherfucker's out here fucking reading smut at work. Yeah. And then, like, if you'd walk by, and he had it out, and he'd slam it, you're like, all secretive and shit. And then he'd open it.
I would encourage him. I'd be like, man, like what you like.
Oh, yeah, and I called him out on it. I was like, Greg, are you reading fucking smut at work? And he tried to lie about it and be all bashful and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. What is Werewolves of Brooklyn?
Oh, you want to know what it really is?
Yeah.
Well, we don't even know what A Little Too Broken is about, for real.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Yeah, what it's really about? You want to know the actual plot.
Like some heartbreak?
Yeah, it's a happy ever after some trauma. It's basically a guy who's HIV positive.
Damn.
Yeah, who was, you know, infected by a very sociopathic boyfriend. He thinks he can never love again. He meets a guy who lost his lower legs in Afghanistan, who has PTSD. When I came up with the idea, I thought, holy shit, if I do this wrong, it's going to be the worst Lifetime movie ever. You know, but I think I did a pretty good job on it. I mean, they go through friends and eventual love, and it's something that I've donated like 50% of the proceeds from the ebook and the audiobook to veterans orgs, mostly Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, that's veterans. Right. You do the audiobooks too, huh?
Yeah,
You do the narration for it.
I do. I narrate my own. Yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. You want to hear some of Colum's Viking captivity?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I brought you a couple paragraphs.
All right.
Yeah. It's like no actual penetration, but, well, fingers.
All right.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with a couple fingers. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Anchor's going to love. I tweeted at Anchor. I was like, we're bringing on
world-renowned
smut author.
Hey, if it's good enough for Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Good enough for me.
So the backstory is that this takes place in 806 AD. True story. After the Vikings raid this monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in real life, they killed all of the monks. But in my story, two survive and brought into captivity by the Vikings. And I wrote a Viking named Viggo, who is, of course, based on Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen, Lord of the Rings.
And Colum, who's based on Colin Farrell. Uh-huh. So just imagine Viggo Mortensen and Colin Farrell having it off.
Oh, I'm freaking hard.
Yeah. With his shield hand firmly gripped on Colum's shoulder, his sword hand probed Colum's ass. Viggo's fingers felt so different from his own, which had gone soft and smooth from too much time away from the practice yard. Viggo's scarred and calloused fingers were strong, rough at first, but the slick mutton fat eased their way. Yes, their way.
Bro.
Has sent two of them up there now. Your ass is virgin, Viggo said. And Colum could hear him smile. You and the other monks never... No, some did. You never wanted to. No, but you do now. It wasn't a question, but Colum answered it. Yes, and saying it, admitting it, was like a great cage had opened, and 1,000 birds flew out, never to return. His body, his ass, relaxed. Viggo felt it, moved in closer, the heat of his body warming Colum as his legs spread Colum's wider.
Oh my god, I'm freaking hard. That's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
I really could imagine Viggo and Colin Farrell. Yeah, I'd see it working out that way too.
Yeah.
Viggo's way more of a Viking.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Colin's the little guy.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Such visual.
The like, mutton grease on the fingers. The mutton grease. Yeah. Vikings are like, dirty.
Don't you guys have like fucking hand wash?
Yeah, they didn't have Astroglide back then.
No.
They had to make do.
Jesus. Mutton grease. So for those of you guys interested in, you know, new lubrication. You use mutton grease.
Absolutely. For that sheep you're roasting in your backyard.
Yeah.
You can get it right off.
It's a real Basco thing to do. A lot of Bascos up here.
Yeah I felt like I was at home, you know. In Winnemucca.
That was good. Very descriptive.
Wow, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Let me just... Do we want to do another... Because I liked doing the...
Yeah, we could do one.
I think we should... Let's team up on Werewolves of Brooklyn and both say what we think it's about.
Okay.
All right. So, this... Judging by the art, this is like early immigrant times.
I would say like Civil War
era. Gangs of New York era is what I have in mind. But they're actually werewolves. But they're like an Irish family or something. And like they're like coming together and they're keeping it a secret in town. And then one of the werewolves falls in love with a young man that's like an Italian or something, where they'll be like, you know, so like Romeo and Juliet. So it'd be like, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's not a werewolf. You're going to fuck this up for all of us. And they like, quit screwing around. Derek McLeod.
McLeod?
Yeah.
McLeod's pretty good. Is that how you say it?
It's more of a Scottish name, but.
Okay.
O'Reilly. Derek O'Reilly. They would later go on to found the
Auto founded Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. and then, what are the characters' names here?
Well, just Derek is all I got
Derek,
so far.
And the Itai?
Yeah.
The Italian?
Yeah. But it turns out the Italian is a mummy.
You're throwing all these curveballs at me, bro. I'm
sorry, I can't help it.
How am I supposed to integrate mummies and werewolves banging?
That's just a mix I don't see that often.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know where to go with mummies. Does he have like his own fucking esophagus? Or what is it?
The sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus.
Because like the Italian family, they're curators at a museum and they're like, oh, we bring in all these old artifacts from the old country. And they're like, Italy? And they're like, no, Egypt.
Right across the water.
Yeah, it's right there. It's a beautiful country. So that's how that's their cover. And Derek goes in there one day because he's checking out America and... But, you know, he actually gets locked in there, and it's a full moon that night, and he's like accidentally stays after closing. He's like, oh, no.
And it's they're Cinderella.
Doing, yeah, and they're doing
werewolves.
Yeah, and they're going to do their mummy rituals that night.
What is it? What's the mummy ritual?
You know,
mummy stuff.
Stuff.
Fresh bandages.
Yeah. They're replacing their bandages.
And then somehow the Italian mummy that... Our protagonist finds they get like, locked in a room together.
Sounds like Rocky Balboa.
Sure. He's like, you're a mummy, and he's like, don't look at me. Like he turns away, like the moon's like starting to shine in through the windows, and he's like, as it starts touching, he's like, don't look, get away. And he's like, you can't hurt me. I'm a mummy. And then he turns it over.
I'm already dead.
Yeah.
Right. And then they proceed to make love.
Yeah. He chews on that bone, like a dog with a bone. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
And into his esophagus.
Exactly.
Deep throat, man.
Deep throat.
He howls at the moon all night long.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
Yeah, and the mummy chokes him. Yeah.
Yeah, with his bone.
Well, because they always have their arms up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're pretty close, right?
That's it. Yeah. No, it's actually about a guy. Actually, it's been a while, so I forget the main guy's name, but he's. It takes place in like hipster Brooklyn.
Mm.
This guy's the last of the non-hipsters. He works at this old man's butcher shop. It's about to be destroyed for, I don't know, yoga mat studio.
Gentrification.
Yeah. And he goes on an ayahuasca trip.
Oh.
And during the ayahuasca trip, he sees the wolf. And so, yeah. So he meets this guy, Albius, who has been...
That's a badass name.
Yeah, he's about 150 years old, maybe more. He was in the Civil War.
Is that in dog years?
What would that be? 7 times 150. I don't know. Math hurts.
A lot.
But a lot, yeah. So he was in the Civil War, and he got wounded, and he goes to Brooklyn and meets the werewolf king, becomes the king of the werewolves. I actually found this house, this really cool little mansion in Brooklyn that I made, the Werewolf Manor. And basically this guy who works at the butcher shop teams up with Albius to save the butcher shop and the house and everything. The funny thing is that I made up this evil real estate developer. This is like 4 years ago or something. And I thought, God, maybe I should make it a thinly disguised Donald Trump. And then I thought, nah, nobody cares who he is anymore. Missed my chance, man. Missed my opportunity to have someone to get revenge on Donald Trump. Just didn't happen.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, you always have 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Werewolves for president, man.
Werewolf 2020.
Shit. Oh, man. All right. Well, God, check out, look for Brad Van on on the Kindle. And if you are interested in his books, for sure, check him out.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, iTunes, everywhere there's books.
And you have the options for audio ads right there.
Yeah, there's also audio.
Audio, versions. If you want his beautiful sultry voice to read it to you, then
yeah, you do.
Yeah, you know, get you half chubbed. You know what I mean? Get that hair.
All right. Well, let's jump into a Handle My Scandal.
Okay.
So we have this game where I can't find the cursor here. There we go. Yeah. We have this game where our friends, people will send us in scandals for us to reenact and see how we would handle their actual scandals. Mm-hmm.
So this one is how to handle meeting your son who is now 13 years old. Mm. Right?
Okay.
So the situation is you've never met him, but you knew he existed. Hmm. The only reason you're actually meeting him because you end up having to go back and banging out his mom, and you walked out, and he happened to be out in the kitchen at the time and saw you. Hmm. He knows what you look like.
We'll have to adapt that a little bit. Because I'm not banging any moms.
Okay. All right.
All right, then. Okay, well.
Banging his dad. Sure.
Banging his dad.
Yeah.
Well, somehow men can get pregnant in this universe, then.
There is actually a whole genre called M-Preg.
What?
You don't want to know.
I'm writing an M-Preg for sure. Yeah. It's going to be just like
freaky shit.
The most hormonal dad ever. He just gets abusive to his spouse and stuff. All right, I want to, but now it's just an improv scene. I'll be the son.
I banged his dad, right?
Yeah.
I'm walking out.
13.
And then suddenly there's this 13-year-old kid who looks just like me.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy shit. I never dreamed when I sold that baby batter 13 years ago that I would ever run into the consequences.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm 13. Okay, this is a lot to take in.
For me too.
First of all, why are you in my house?
Well, when two people love each other very much, they lay down together, like your dad and I.
My dad's gay?
Well, this must come as a shock to you, I'm sure. But...
I mean, it's fine, he just didn't tell me. He always seemed this is why he never brings home women.
Well, I mean, actually, I have a quota of straights I have to convert every month. And your dad, I just got in under the wire with your dad. I get to keep my gay card.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, why do we look so much alike?
Well, when one person needs money very much, he goes to the sperm bank and he sells his ejaculate for people to have babies with.
You're my other dad?
Well, I don't know if I'm ready for that responsibility.
Biologically, then.
Biologically, yeah. Let's grant you that. Yeah.
Well, how'd you find the guy that bought your spunk and then got pregnant with him?
You know, it's just one of those mysterious coincidences. That
small world. Oh well. Do we become friends now, or do
I think it's probably more like, what's that Hugh Grant movie? About a boy, yeah, where you bother me until I give in and realize the power of love.
Oh,
that works.
Yeah, I'm super down with that.
Yeah, excellent.
I just want to go have a catch with you.
Well, let me go bang your dad again. and then I'll meet you outside.
Yeah, I'll wait outside for that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have fun. I'm 13. I my brain's still growing. I don't know. I'm going through some shit right now.
Well, don't worry, we'll close the window.
I appreciate it.
That was beautiful. You could have made that into a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was going down that road. Yeah.
Poor guy, dude. Finds out his dad's gay. Then he finds who his other father is. At the
same time, yeah. Wow, heavy.
Yeah, that's a lot for a little 13-year-old boy.
It's going to take a lot of therapy.
Yeah, it is.
So if you have a scandal, let us know. We'll reenact it. And that's how I think that there's some resolution there. Mm-hmm. I think the moral of the story is just own up to it. But
what was it? Own up to it.
Yeah.
And little kid had some.
Don't be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Own it.
Have two dads, man.
Two daddies. I'm proud. Better than none.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, a lot of kids don't get a dad.
Oh, man. That's good.
Yeah. We got any debate topics?
Yeah, we got a couple debate topics here.
Let's go to the danger zone.
All right, so, dirty talk. Yay or nay?
Yay.
Yeah?
Yeah, dirty talk, absolutely.
All right.
Verbal, I'm extremely verbal.
Well, I'm taking nay then.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So what's your argument for nay?
But I don't want to piss God off, Brad. So I'm going to be called church mouse so he doesn't know that I'm sinning.
I see.
He can look the other way because I don't want to upset him.
Yeah. Okay, well, I always learned that if you don't ask for what you want, you don't get it.
I can see that. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone knows to smack my ass. I've got to get them to commit.
You know what they say about assuming?
Mm-hmm.
Make an ass of you and me.
Yeah, or gets you in me ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been much of a dirty talk. Every time I do it, I laugh. I've had girls, they're all about it, and I can't do it because I'm gonna laugh, and then they're just gonna leave.
Mm.
So I just don't say nothing. Yeah. I just breathe heavily. Breathe heavily, and I'll let you know.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Vocalize maybe, but not verbalize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can think of some good shit before or after, but yeah.
What's the dirtiest shit you ever said?
The dirtiest shit I've ever said
to anybody, not to anyone.
I'm
while making say. Love.
All right, and said, well, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but and plus, if I repeat it, it's going to sound ridiculous out of context.
What was the context?
I don't know. We were just like, it's not important. Why are you trying to drag this out of me? I don't want to say it.
What's the dirtiest stuff that's been said to you?
Just, the generic stuff, like, oh, get that pussy. Tear that pussy up. Like,
who's got a big dick? Yeah. And then you're like, not me.
I'm like, no, thank you for the compliment. You don't have to lie.
I know. I've had girls that were really vocal, and they're just like, I'm like, come on now. Mm-hmm. I'm not that great.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, but tone it down a little bit. I got neighbors.
Yeah. It can ruin it if it's the wrong dirty talk. It's like, oh, put your eggplant in my vangina. Then you're just like, oh, God.
It's going to be one of those.
I don't want to play Farmsville right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the worst thing that's ever been told me is just they've whispered it to me.
Mm.
Put it in my butt. I'm like, what? Put it in my butt. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's all I said. I'm like, all right. I'm not a dirty talker.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always said, if you take those handcuffs off, I swear I'll rip that ski mask off you.
Oh, good Lord. Some people like that. Yeah, they like that. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes that's what it takes to get them off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think women are more... I mean, that's why I think men watch more porn and women read more erotica.
Hmm.
That I think men are more visual.
Yeah.
And women can be more verbal.
I'm actually giving up porn for Lent.
Lent.
Just announcing it here on the podcast.
He won't make it.
He won't make it. How long is Lent?
I think like 40 days.
Fuck.
This motherfucker's like, fuck. I'm going to do it.
What is that, like 3 days or something? Yeah, stay busy.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for the Lord. I'm going to do it. I'm doing it for me.
There you go. That's what you got to do things for.
Yeah.
Just remember, prostate health. That's real science, man. You got to clean that prostate.
I'm science. Not that old.
Clean it anyway. Can't never start too soon.
How do you clean it? Hmm? How do you clean it?
Well, it's just by jacking off, you know, orgasms.
Oh, I do that. Prostate I do that all the time.
Yeah.
And then I don't think I could give up jerking off.
Those antigens don't build up in your prostate.
I jerk off all the time.
Yeah.
I have a huge load. It's weird.
I heard about what you do in the sink.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think you need to drink more water if you're clogging the sink.
Is that what it is? Is that what happens? Yeah, yeah. I gotta drink more. I feel like I drink enough water. I have huge loads.
Yeah.
I've been told that. Like, it's like, why do you come so much? I don't know. Drink a lot of water.
Yeah. It's got a factory, man.
Yeah, because women don't really see that as a compliment.
No.
You know?
They object to that.
They're like, ugh, so much cum. Great. You know?
I'll never get all this off my face.
All right. So, I mean, I guess that was
Yeah, you guys destroyed me with that argument. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being quiet, it's no fun for anybody.
Yeah.
I was just trying to take the other
side. I mean,
side.
I feel like it's either or, though. Like, do you want, you know, you want some chat or you want some cock?
If you're with somebody and they're not making any sound, that person's a serial killer.
If they're just like, just like dead-eyed, dead-eyeing you right in the face.
Yeah,
and
get
I'm
the
scared.
Hell out of there, yeah.
Like, you know? Missionary sex. Yeah.
Right. Right here. Boxers versus briefs.
Boy.
Growing up, I was a boxers guy when I was a kid. Mm. That's what my parents would buy me.
Yeah.
Right.
But then, like, when I got older, I just started fucking wedgies, bro.
Yeah.
The wedgies killed me.
I'm going to say on hot days, boxers on. Well, I got to pick one. I'll take boxers then. Because if I fall out of an airplane, I'm going to tie the legs together and I'm going to parachute to safety.
Oh. It's a lot of holes to plug.
You got time? You got time when you're falling?
How much time?
You know, however long
it takes. I think it takes, like, about 2 minutes from, like,
80,000. That's more than enough time for me to make underwear into a parachute.
Yeah.
Okay, how big are these underwear?
Like,
cholo-sized?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
That'll work.
That might work, yeah.
And you could wear them as a backpack, too.
I don't think boxers are sexy, though.
No. No.
You know?
They're too baggy, you know? There's no... You don't see the ass. You don't
see... No, you don't see nothing.
That, I'll admit to that. Nothing. Yeah, everybody in boxers, you get that grandpa ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that
flat and wrinkly
old man ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the briefs, high and tight.
Yeah.
High and tight. Yeah. The old Mike G is
the old
called.
Mike G's, they Mike call G's. It, huh?
Yeah. The high and tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeps everything, you know, there.
Yeah.
And if you do well for yourself, then, you know, it helps.
Yeah. Those boxers, especially, like, when they're, like, checked boxers, plaid, you know, just like an old, broken-down Christmas present. Some Christmas present UPS beat the shit out of, you know.
and then it's disappointing on the end when you unwrap it, too. You're just like, ah,
oh,
thank you.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I got boxers. I remember I got for Christmas 1 year. Because my parents fucking, and I had horrible grades that year. So all they got me was socks and underwear.
Mm-hmm.
But they call me, they bought me these, they were like, what's that really soft material? Silk?
Silk.
Yeah.
Silk. Satin?
Satin.
Satin. Yeah.
Satin Playboy boxers.
Jeez. Oh my God.
Horrible.
Parents attracted to you or something? That's a romantic guess.
No, yeah. I don't know, man. They might have thought they were cool.
Okay.
I don't know.
Right.
Horrible idea, though.
How old were you?
I think I was like 27. No, I'm just kidding. No, I was like fuck, like 14 or some shit. I was young. And that's all I got for Christmas was socks and those Playboy, like Playboy boxers.
What happened to your grades after that?
Oh, no, they stayed down.
Yeah. I wanted some more of those.
I wasn't very good at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was good at, like, humanities stuff. I was good at history and English and debate.
Yeah.
And I hated, like, math and science. I just, like, I had terrible teachers, too.
I failed intro geometry twice.
Yeah.
Me too, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to take that shit online.
Did you have Miss Sanders? Or Miss Knight. Or, yeah, she was an a-hole anyway. Yeah, reverse shout out to her, you a-hole.
She's always a bitch, but I felt like she genuinely cared about math.
She used to go to choir concerts. I was in choir, and she would, like...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She'd be, like, smile, like, get all giddy, and I'd be like, I'm not going to fuck you, Miss Sanders. I'm not, I don't want a good grade that bad.
She'd been married, like, 3 times in my entire high school career. She was, like, Miss Sanders, and then something else, and then Miss Knight. And then she had this adopted black daughter.
Cece was adopted? I thought that was her daughter.
Oh, fuck, maybe. I don't... Well, maybe. Hmm. She had this little head, long neck, and huge body.
Yeah.
Huge whore. Yeah. Huge slut she was.
Good for her.
Yeah. Well, good for her. Just getting that dong. Yeah. All right. One more. We have Seinfeld versus Friends.
Oh, Seinfeld. Easy.
Yeah, yeah. Seinfeld.
They're not my friends.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I never watched Friends. I've never... And then when I tell my white friends, they say, what? You've never watched Friends? It's like, yeah. No, bitch, I didn't watch Friends.
I think, like, what I see... Because I'm 56, and I see all these young people watching. I think it's, like, wishful thinking. It's like, look at that fucking apartment, man.
Yeah.
And it's like, look how they live, and, you know, they go to the cafe all the time, and, you know, it's just, I hated it. They weren't my friends.
Yeah.
No, it's not realistic.
Like, just episodes, like, you know, like, buy-in episodes. Hey, everybody, guess what? I got tickets to Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, God.
And suddenly, all of them are like, yeah, we all love Hootie and the Blowfish. And then, of course, Hootie and the Blowfish shows up for the fucking show. And like,
right.
Yeah, Hootie. And it's like,
I was never a fan of those shows. I actually didn't I didn't get into Seinfeld until later in my life.
But I'm just picking between. I'm still not. I don't think. Honestly, I don't think Seinfeld aged that well. But maybe that's. I don't know. Being overly critical of it, but
as far as the show itself or the person.
Well, I liked it as a kid.
Oh, Seinfeld looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he's unaging.
That's creepy. It's weird. He's like Elijah Wood.
No, because I remember liking it as a kid, but now when I watch it back, I'm like, oh, well, maybe it's just because it is aged, and like, now it's kind of dated is all.
There's a lot that are dated. There's some classic episodes.
But shout out to my boy, Steve Heitner. See you in April.
Oh, he's
gold, Jerry. Solid gold.
Yeah, that guy. What's his
I'm going to open up for him. I don't remember.
What's the connection there to Seinfeld?
He was in, he played a running character in that show.
Oh, yeah?
He was, him and Seinfeld didn't like each other. Seinfeld didn't like him in the show.
Yeah, he was like, he liked Jerry and Jerry. Like, he's just some guy that annoyed Jerry pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's gold, Jerry.
Yeah.
Like, they were both stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and they always in the bar. They would, like, meet in the bar. Was that it?
Was that it?
He's awesome. That Steve is really nice. I like that guy a lot. Yeah. He lives up like in Tahoe.
He was down here not too long ago, right?
Yeah, for New Year's. He's coming back in April. I'm going to open up for him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I hope I am. I'm just assuming I'm going to. But,
yeah. And you paid?
Hopefully. That'd be nice. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Friends sucks. Seinfeld's better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Big Bang Theory kind of sucks, too.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
I have, you know, I tried to watch it a couple of times. And the thing that always strikes me is when you do a commercial for a show, you assume that for the teaser, they're putting out their funniest material. And after every commercial, I'm like, that was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know any smart person who is allegedly represented on this show who ever liked it.
Me either.
It's just... I call them shitcoms.
Yeah, they just throw out buzzwords.
Yeah, it's just...
I'm right, easy jokes around that.
Yeah. About Trailer Park Boys. I'm just kidding.
Trailer Park Boys is pretty good.
I feel like Trailer Park Boys only works in Canada.
Mm. There's a new show called The Other Two. That is hilarious. It's this kid who's basically like Justin Bieber, you know, becomes his teen sensation.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, his brother and sister, adult brother and sister... who are, you know, professional failures, basically, are cast in his shadow, and they're trying to, you know, deal. One's a gay failing actor, and the other one is like a homeless former realtor, can't get her shit together, and funny. It's
what's dark. It on?
I think it's FX or FXX.
They put out good shows.
Yeah, it might be Comedy Central, I think. It's like they pair it up with Broad City, I think.
I love Broad City.
Oh,
such a good fucking show.
Yas Queen!
Alana's so hot, dude.
Yeah. She's crazy.
Yeah. She's hilarious.
Gun to my head, one woman, Alana.
Yep, definitely. Alana. All
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
She's great. I'm upset that they stopped. And this was the last season.
Yeah, last season was kind of, I don't know, a little worn out. I feel like this season, they're regaining their energy to, like, go out really well, really yeah. strong.
Yeah. It's a good show. I was talking to my friend about it. I feel like that was a much better show than Workaholics.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever watched Workaholics, but it was, like, kind of the same deal. Mm. Kind of the same, like, it was three friends all work together and shit.
Yeah.
But, I think Broad City was just a better made show.
I worked in an office so long, I could never watch a show set in an office. I've never seen The Office, you know.
Like, that's another show. Yeah. That's another show. Yeah. I'm like, I don't have that much interest in watching it. And everybody's like, gospel.
Right. Oh, it's office. So awkward. It's awkward. It's funny. It's like, no.
I've seen a few episodes, and I can see it, but I'm not going to, like, what is it, like 20 fucking seasons or some shit like that? I'm not going to watch it. I don't think it's that good.
No.
I want to watch Game of Thrones. Actually, I don't want to watch Game of Thrones anymore.
Shut your mouth.
Okay, look, when you read the books and you see how they've destroyed, like, it's not the same story after a while.
No. But the books are, you know, the books get tedious.
Yeah.
You know, I learned, like, in the last couple books, it's like, if shit takes place in the Iron Islands, just skip it. Because it's boring and stupid.
Oh, well, you say that, but Euron Greyjoy is going to bring out fucking Cthulhu, and he's going to be
from the deep.
It's going to be just some crazy shit out of nowhere.
Fuck these dragons, man. Yeah. I got this.
Well, fuck. All right, man.
You got anything else?
I'm good.
All right, Brad, why don't you plug all your. You got anything to plug?
Oh, well, I really want to plug my novel, Stabatha, which is the gripping serial killer thriller, available on all platforms, Amazon, iTunes, also available in paperback on the same on Amazon. I want to plug myself on Vimeo. Check out my short Arriving in 4, a very, very good comedy with my friends and great actors Cody Hamilton and Paul Ward, about two brothers who are waiting for a car to take them or not to their father's funeral.
Hmm.
Good stuff.
Cool. Cool. Well, fuck, man. Thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah,
it was
fun.
This was fun. You got social medias or anything like that?
You know, I deleted my Twitter. I deleted a lot of shit because it's a time waster. And just, you know, you're looking for that approval.
Right.
But I have Brad Vance Author. You can find me on Facebook. I have an author page.
Cool.
Yeah.
So follow me and check us out on Friday.
Stabatha.
Yeah, Stabatha.
I kind of want to read it.
Yeah, I do too. It's got good. A cool title.
I'm not a big reader, but it sounds cool.
These are under here. These are literally books he's ever read.
Yeah, I saw that.
Thank you.
Good taste. Thank you. Never pronounced that right.
I don't even. Also, come see me and Brad on Friday at our improv showcase. Yeah. And at the end of the month, we're both doing stand-up at the Reno Improv Comedy Night. I'm not sure the exact day, but I'll plug it later on.
And real quick, we're deciding to do one episode a week for an hour and a half.
Yeah, we're just, you know, because we don't want to oversaturate people until we get,
And then Mike's getting busy with all of his shows that he's doing, so just makes more sense. So go check him out. Go check out Brad and Mike at the Reno Improv.
And eventually, when Uriel decides to quit being a bitch, like... Because you're going to kill it, man. I've read your stuff. I know you're set. You're going to do great.
I know. I'll do it.
I got up there the first time with paper. I had my notebook and everything.
It's yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I thought I should just do that.
Yeah. Anyway, that is it for this episode.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Please share us.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is the Let's Get Dangerous podcast, and we're out.
Stay sweet.
Mwah.